You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Eccentric fitness classes happening at the Cable Community Center starting at 8:30 today. They are located at 13660 County Highway M and Cable. Again, the Eccentrics fitness class happening at 8:30 at the Cable Community Center. Northwoods Community Food Shelf is open at 10 o'clock today. The food shelf is available every Wednesday and Friday at the Spider Lake Youth Center at the Spider Lake Church Hayward Campus, located on Highway 2777, just north of the Hayward Hospital. They have lots of meats and produce available. Everyone's encouraged to get food from this program regardless of your financial situation. Again, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf opening up at 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock today. Boys soccer happening today at 5 o'clock. This is for Spooner High School. Boys varsity match at the high school at 5 o'clock. A craft and conversation event will be held at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library meeting room at 5:30 today. They're going to talk about how to make fry bread. Learn how to make fry bread with Beverly Bearhart and enjoy a casual conversation. They will provide all the ingredients, but feel free to bring a notebook to take notes. Registration is required for this event as space is limited to 10 people. You can register by calling 715-634-2161 or stopping by the front desk at the library. If the class is full, feel free to stop by and just enjoy the conversation. Again, September 2nd at 5:30 till 6:30 at the Hayward Community Library Meeting Room, How to Make Fry Bread. Girls Varsity Invitational is happening at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, September 3rd. This is girls golf in the Spooner School District. Again, Girls Varsity Invitational Golf Event happening at 9 a.m. for the Spooner Golf Group. Northwoods Community Food Shelf is happening again on Wednesday the 3rd at the Spider Lake Youth Center at 10 a.m. This is located at 11255 Highway 77, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of meats and produce available. Everyone's encouraged to come get food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. Again, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf opening up at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. The Strong Bodies program will be featured at the Lakota Ray Aging and Disability Center, located at 13856 West Corbine Road in Stone Lake, starting at 10:30 on Wednesday. This program has been shown to increase strength, muscle mass, and bone density. Classes are held twice weekly and include progressive resistance training, balance training, and flexibility exercises. Again, Strong Bodies program, 10:30 at the LCO Elder Center. Super Senior classes is being offered at the Hayward Senior Resource Center at 11 o'clock. This is a 45-minute class geared towards those 60 and older and is chair-based, and they work on balance, strength, coordination, core, and, of course, having fun. It's all happening at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Resource Center. Power pump courses are offered at 4 o'clock on Wednesday at the Cable Community Center, located at 13660 County Highway M. This is a dumbbell class that is designed for all fitness levels, targets all major muscle groups by using exercise such as squats, presses, lifts, and curls, emphasized low weight loads and high repetitions, and motivational music. Again, Wednesday at 4 at the Cable Community Center Power Pump Classes. On Thursday, September 4th at 10 a.m., the Engage Knitting at the Hayward Library, located at 10788 Highway 2777 in Hayward. Join the fun whether you are a beginner or experienced knitter or prefer another craft and would just like the camaraderie. For more information, you can call 715-634-2161. Again, Engage Knitting at the Hayward Library at 10 o'clock on Thursday. Thursday at 4 o'clock, the Spooner Golf Club, the girls' varsity match, will be at the Grantsburg Public Golf Course. Again, starting at 4 o'clock, this is for Spooner Golf girls' varsity match in Grantsburg. Spooner girls' varsity cross-country invitational starts at 4:30 on Thursday at the Spooner High School. Again, cross-country match, girls' varsity invitational at the Spooner High School at 4:30 on Thursday. Also at Thursday, a creative movement class will be held at the Cable Community Center. A Spooner boys' varsity soccer match will start at 5 o'clock at the Birch Street Soccer Field. Again, Spooner boys' varsity soccer, 5 o'clock on Thursday at the Birchwood Street Soccer Field. Boys varsity in Hayward is against Cumberland at the Cumberland High School. Again, boys varsity soccer for Hayward is away at Cumberland starting at 5 o'clock on Thursday. And finally, girls volleyball varsity is going to be at 5:45 at the Spooner High School. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
More with Pat Kreitlow here on the Buzz of the North on a Tuesday and a post-Labor Day weekend. Joel here, Mr. Greg Gunderson. We are present. Nothing more expected on the day after Labor Day, right?
I'm present, but I am no gift, I'll tell you that.
Well, the big news. Tuesdays are Greeple Tuesdays, by the way. We talk green and we talk purple, and it's going to be a lot of green because, of course, last week we had the big trade with Micah Parsons being picked up by the Packers from the Cowboys. In your lifetime, first of all, just in your lifetime, Gray, you're a young man, biggest trade ever for the Packers?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what else might compete. You know, getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, trading him to the Jets was big, arguably,
yeah,
but for very different reasons.
But incoming?
Yeah, incoming, absolutely, yeah. 100%. And I feel like this might actually be the biggest trade I've ever seen.
I was alive in the Walker era.
That was right around when my alive started, right around those times. But I know that's absolutely what it's being compared to. And I know in Packers history, the immediate comparison is Reggie White, of course. But no, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I mean the two first round draft picks to me, yeah, they're first round draft picks. But the Packers, you pointed out to me, shortly after the trade happened, you know, if the Packers are who we think they're going to be, that'll be a 27th or 28th round or 28th pick in the first round.
More than likely. Yeah. And Micah Parsons pushes that further down. You know, it's funny. A team in the Cowboys position in that trade has that exact value proposition to make with themselves. You know, I'm going to give them a resource that will diminish the quality of what they send me in return. Micah Parsons makes those first round picks we traded for Micah Parsons worse. So you've got to ask for more in the back end or do something to sweeten the pot. And they didn't. Jerry Jones has gone on record saying that they've struggled to stop the run for years. And so a Pro Bowl nose tackle is an appealing piece. But apparently, in order to stop the run, they've decided, we're just going to let the pass happen because they gave up a generational pass rushing talent.
Well, Micah Parsons is a sack guy. He's averaging like 13 sacks a season, like 52 for his career. The big question behind the scenes I have with this is there's just little inklings. Jerry Jones says it, which I kind of just shove into the garbage can. But other people have said it too, that Micah Parsons, how is he as far as a team player? You know, how is he in the locker room? So that's something that the Packers will find out pretty quick here. Pretty quick, right?
Indeed. Now, Jerry Jones has a lot of history. You know, he's a more public and forward-facing owner than many of them are. And so we know more about Jerry than we do about a lot of owners and about his tendencies and his decision-making process. But he had a press conference yesterday or a couple days ago now that yesterday. This would have been this would have been 3 days ago now. Anyway, time has flown since Micah Parsons entered Green Bay. Yeah. But he gave one where he said those two first-round draft picks could be Pro Bowl-level players for us. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's the meme. That's actually the meme right there. There's actually a moment in a Family Guy episode where this basically a con artist guy says, here, you could have this boat or you could have this box, this mystery box. Mm-hmm. And Peter says, that could be anything. It could even be a boat. And that's what Jerry just did. He actually just did that. One of these guys could even be Micah Parsons. Jerry, please.
But here's the thing. You have Micah Parsons, and he's only like 25 years old.
Yep, he's 26.
He is young. He's not like you're picking up a veteran who has, we got a couple-year window. If he does what a guy like him normally does, you've got 6 years probably of him.
There are so many sayings, Joel, that people grow up with that I don't think really make sense to you until you see it and you think of it. You know, when I turned 25, I started noticing, these cliches, these phrases that I just know by heart, I've never actually really thought about what they look like in real life. This Micah Parsons trade is a demonstration that Jerry Jones never learned a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Because he says, hey, those two in the bush could be worth anything, even one in the hand. Yeah. And so he let go of the one in the hand. It's like, Jerry, my guy.
I love him.
I can kiss him.
He's an interesting character. There's a Netflix documentary that came out about him that he basically did. He basically takes credit for the Herschel Walker trade, which other people say that he never even had a hand.
Jimmy Johnson, 100%.
Never had a hand in that trade. But the be-all and tell-all will be this season. If this season happens and the Cowboy defense is very good, is elite or top 5 or 10, and the Packers defense is worse than the Cowboys, people will be like, see? Yeah, Jerry knew Micah wasn't right for our team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll extend that a little bit. I'll say there's kind of three versions of how this might happen. You've got the two obvious ones. You've got Micah Parsons goes to Green Bay and absolutely balls out. That would most likely look like a Super Bowl victory very soon. You've got the other end of the spectrum where the fit is bad and the defensive coordinator in Green Bay, it's only his second season. So Jeff Hafley might totally misuse his guys and this might be the end of Micah Parsons' good playing and this might be the beginning of a huge rebuild for the Packers as of this season. I don't think that's happening. But then you've got the middle ground options and these are the ones that are most interesting to me because then you have questions like, well, who did the Cowboys pick with those two first rounders? Where we're looking 3, 4, 5 years down the line and where we have to say, okay, Micah had a couple good seasons and a couple bad ones in Green Bay, which frankly is the most likely thing to happen. And then we'll ask questions like, okay, Micah versus player A and player B. These are two guys who aren't even in the league yet who we just basically traded for Micah Parsons. And we'll have to compare those players. Now, if you look at past trades like that, the Saints and Ricky Williams, Mike, what were you doing? Okay, well, let's look maybe a little less absolutely ridiculous. The Washington football team and Robert Griffin III. That trade didn't really finalize and settle with all the draft picks that were handed around until 5 or 6 years later. Yeah. And it was pretty obvious that the Washington team got fleeced. And it wouldn't have mattered if RG3 stayed healthy. Like, we'll only know what this really looks like in about 5 years unless the Packers win the Super Bowl this year.
And I think the excitement is big because the history of the Reggie White trade. The Reggie White trade went about as good as you could ever expect it.
Chills,
so there's a little history there. Could this be Micah Parsons, Reggie White part two?
I know I'm buying a jersey.
More Greeple to come a little bit later on this hour at about 7:52. So hold on. We got more to talk about in the NFL. More of Pat Kreitlow and the Buzz of the North coming up in just a moment. It's 7:29, by the way. More with Mr. Pat Kreitlow and the Buzz of the North and Up North News coming up. Joel and Gray here. It's a Greeple Tuesday. That means we talk football every Tuesday, the green and the purple. Now, earlier this hour, Gray, we talked a lot about the Micah Parsons trade and such like that. Really overshadowed by two things. The Adam Thielen trade came out, and Viking fans were very excited. And then we had that tragic Minneapolis shooting, and then we had the Micah Parsons thing that just stacked right behind it. So the Adam Thielen thing got, appropriately enough, got shoved to the back. But that could be a big move for the Minnesota Vikings because they need receiver help. He knows Kevin O'Connell. He worked out with J.J. McCarthy the last couple of last offseason. Yep. He knows J.J. McCarthy. This, as far as the question mark that surrounded the Vikings receivers, because Jordan Addison's out the first three. Justin Jefferson has hamstring issues. He's okay now. They don't really have a really solid fourth receiver. They have Jalen Reagor in there, I believe his name is. But this is a big pickup for the Vikings. He's healthy. Adam Thielen's had some good seasons.
It is, 100%. And more than anything, I think he's locker room experience. Funny enough, if you want a good example of the value of his experience, I mean, maybe not the value of it, but maybe, I don't know. It's fair to say that Thielen is an emblematic, a symbol, if you will, of how the Vikings are doing it differently than the Panthers, where Thielen just left. Because if you look at the wide receiver room now in Carolina, they've got six receivers on their roster. They've got three rookies, two second-year players, and one real veteran who was drafted 7 years ago and he averages 200 yards a year. So that the Panthers gave up Thielen blew my mind. It's easy to forget that Adam Thielen's 35.
Right.
Adam Thielen is the only guy who's played receiver decently past 35, pretty much, is Jerry Rice. So Thielen's on the cusp of being number two of two ever to play decently. And there's kind of an elephant in the room, which would make Adam Thielen one of one if he pulls that off. And it's not an insignificant one.
Yeah, and there is significance. It's been proven to have veterans around young players, especially a positive influence like Adam Thielen. He's just a quality guy. I mean, they posted a video online when he was the trade was announced. His family was jumping up and down, and his young girls were like, "We're going back home. We're going back home." He, of course, was a St. Cloud State guy, and we know the whole story of not being drafted and all that stuff. But it's important for the Vikings because the Vikings passing game with J.J. McCarthy is a question mark in his ability to get the ball to his receivers. So this fills in a little bit of a question mark for the Vikings.
Absolutely. This is somebody that J.J. can look at and relax. And that's huge because, yeah, J.J. was drafted last year, but he went down in the preseason, never played a snap. He's basically a rookie. So one thing that any fan who's watched for more than a season or two knows is that rookies will often find a safety valve, a backup parachute, a player that they feel like they can always throw to. And it's a placebo effect. What that is when I look at this guy, I feel like I can throw better to him. So I relax and I literally do throw better to him. So if that's Adam Thielen, cool. J.J. McCarthy now has that guy who can basically relax him and make him a better quarterback when he's throwing to guys who are not Adam Thielen. One receiver can make other receivers better, both by attracting the attention of the defense and distracting them, but also by calming the guy who's throwing the ball. And younger quarterbacks sometimes need that. That, I think, is the biggest value that Adam Thielen has. And if you want a good example of what I'm talking about, Adam Thielen was still a Viking when you guys had that 33-point comeback against the Colts a couple seasons ago, back in 2022. Yeah. And I thought I hated Adam Thielen. I thought I legitimately didn't like him. Like, I thought he had an attitude that I didn't like, but I've watched videos since he left and he's no longer a rival. I love the guy. He's great, great personality. Watching him during that comeback was so cool. So I like that he's back. I'm going to hate him mid-season. Ask me again later.
It seems like the consensus now is, even with the Vikings picking up Adam Thielen and the Packers picking up Micah Parsons, is that the national media and the guys who follow the NFL every day and are there at the camps, they still think the Lions are the best team in the division.
They really do. They really, really do. And I think that's fair, but yeah, I'm surprised that I almost wonder if it's not a little bit of defiance. You know, these guys say, I don't care if they got Parsons, it's still the Lions show. Well, maybe. But I think this brings us on par with the Lions, even if you're a hater. Like, what do they have? I mean, yeah, our cornerbacks are thin and their wide receivers are thick. So they've got a basic advantage. But that ignores coaching, that ignores age, that ignores chance, that ignores home field advantage. I mean, like, it's really tough for me to... If you're going to tell me the Lions are that much better, okay, fine. I don't disagree out of hand, but I want you to point to why, and I question whether you've got a good list.
The Greeple here talking Green Bay, talking purple. And one thing also, it's not too often we go into an NFL season where there's three teams in a division. And I've mentioned this before, Packers, Vikings, Lions, either one of those three teams end up in the Super Bowl. Not a huge surprise.
Not
all three have. It's not too often you have three teams in a division that all legitimately have arguments of why they should be on TV Super Bowl Sunday.
Our division is about to do what Tom Brady did for 20 years. You know, like it's just this, the NFC North. It's always been a team or a couple teams. You know, it went from the Patriots to being the Chiefs. And before that, it was the Broncos and the Patriots again and the Colts. And then there was the Cowboys dynasty before that. So, like, there's always a bad guy. Right now, there's three. It's just a question of which three.
And I'll have a legitimate argument that you can't look at a Lions fan, a Packer fan, or a Viking fan and say, well, that's pretty optimistic. You don't have a good enough. No, all three have a pretty good argument.
100%.
They do.
100%. And you know what? I was going through the fans forums after the Parsons trade. Every NFC North fan, like if you're a Bears, Lions, or Vikings fan, you all have the same three-word sentence that ends with, Packers. Mm-hmm. I'll leave that there. You know what it is. Well, guess what, y'all? You're about to experience what that feels like from the rest of the league because it's about to be NFC North. We're all the Packers now. Enjoy. Welcome to my club.
Hey, Hayward area. Remember, though, U.S. Bank Stadium's closer to us from Hayward than Lambeau Field. That's it for the Greeple. That's it for the Greeple, Mr. Gunderson.
I got nothing for that, man. That was a stinky one to end it on.
Packers Sunday, Vikings Monday this coming weekend. Thanks for tuning in to another edition here of the Local Shot here, the Greeple, every Tuesday. Pat Kreidler is standing by with more Up North news on the Buzz.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I'm talking today with Marshall Savitsky, but not so much about the City Hayward Police Department. We're going to be talking about what's happening at the Town of Hayward Police Department. There was a recent town board meeting that had a pretty large attendance to it. And Marshall, tell me what you experienced with this meeting and what your presentation was.
They had a special meeting to hear from the public in regards to the future of their police department, the Township of Hayward. Specifically, I have interest because I'm the chief of police for the city of Hayward, and I'm also on public safety for the Sawyer County Board. And I hear a lot of things, and I see, you know, where we're shorthanded in the county, whether you know, EMTs, firefighters, but specifically what caught my eye that day was the police department and law enforcement in this area.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to see any law enforcement reduced in any way. So, I was interested.
It puts a strain on the other departments that operate around the township, including the county and the city and Bass Lake and other communities.
Right now, the City of Hayward Police Department and Lacoutere Tribal Police Department were both shorthanded. We both have both departments have some recruits in the police academy right now. So even today I got a guy who took the whole month of August off and I'm covering the road. So there's just me and the City of Hayward for 2,600 people. And there's nobody working for the township right now. And so it's just me and a few county guys and maybe one LCO officer today. Hmm. So, you know, I just don't want to see any law enforcement reduced because we stay pretty busy. Heck, I was late for this radio show today just because I was on a car accident. So
right. So you were there at the meeting. What was the discussion about? How did the public feel about this? And what was the final vote?
So the public definitely showed up to support the police department and not wanting to reduce it by any means. There was a few people who maybe thought different, but for the majority of the part, there's probably almost 60 people there, I would say.
Okay.
And a lot of business owners and people in this area, including Famous Dave, he was there to support the police department and keeping that full-time position.
Yep.
And so public gave the input, and at the following meeting at 6 o'clock that evening is when they voted to approve it, and they're going to discuss what they should, salary and job duties of this position and what they're going to have with this. This police department has been here for almost 20 years now.
Wow.
So I think 2003 they might have started. And, so they have the squad cars, they got the equipment for it. They just need somebody to fill that role.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Now, would that person's salary be based on a chief's salary or patrol officer's salary?
I'm not sure what they're going to do.
How they're going to classify it.
I think they're going to have another meeting before their August meeting is the way it sounds. They're going to do a little research, which is the right thing to do and figure out what they should pay. So I don't know if it's going to be somebody like just a regular officer on the road would make, or if it'd be like a chief or sheriff salary, something like that. I'm not sure. I mean, the township, like for their police department, is always one full-timer. And then he left in December and 7 part-timers and all but one, me, left. So there was an 8-man department at one time.
Now, you're doing a lot of things in this community. You're on the county board. You're the chief of police for the City of Hayward. You're a part-time contract officer for the town of Hayward, and then you're on the board for Bass Lake. Is there anything else that you do that I haven't listed yet?
I sell sweet corn in the fall. Yep. No, I stay pretty busy, but yeah, Bass Lake, I've been on that board for, I think, 7 years now, so it's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This past year, we've had a lot going on. One big thing when I started, we wanted to have a garbage disposal day for the public to bring stuff in and get rid of it at a reduced cost, if anything. And we've been doing that. It's one of my pride and joys, I guess. And this year we had it, and we had a record year for items like refrigerators and microwaves and tires and everything else. These groups that pick up ditches or whatever, they always plan that week moving into it. So we also have some more, a few road projects we're working on right now. And so we've been working with the LCO reservation for funding, and they chipped in, I think, a little over $100,000 to help repay Fromer Road, which really needed it.
Oh, yeah, it really did. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get a lot more traffic now that the dormitories are opening up on that road for the farm and then future expansion for the university.
There's so much building out there in that block near Four Corners, community-wise and the university-wise with, like you said, housing and the farm. It's needed.
So now also in Bass Lake, as a county board member, you represent that area because that's where you live.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does all of this tie into what your responsibilities are on the Sawyer County Board?
A lot of it falls hand in hand when it comes to resolutions or things like zoning. Most of what we talk about during town board sessions is specific just for the township. But kind of what falls within the whole area, like zoning, like I said, does go back to the county board, especially like camping ordinances, or that's kind of the hot topic these days.
Yeah, talk a little more about that camping ordinance.
The townships in Sawyer County, they push to have their camping ordinance specifically, for like campgrounds at 30% capacity on parcels. And past most of the townships in the county, and then Sawyer County Zoning Committee, and then it was brought forward to the whole supervisor group for the county board, and they denied it and is allowing 100% capacity for these places. So
wow.
One thing the town of Bass Lake specifically wanted was more transient parcels, so places, people who could show up that day and want to camp instead of having like year-long contracts with certain
right.
resorts or whatever. They want to yeah. have people passing through be able to camp for a day or two with their family and move on if they wanted to. So,
well, Marshall, thanks for stopping by and talking about these various issues, and we'll have you back next month.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.